them steps, but they want me to get in 10,000 steps a day, which is a little over 3 miles, knocking on 4 miles. And when I first started walking, I thought I would never get there. I'd come down the steps, and man, I'm telling you, the heaviness that was on me, I never thought I would get there. But I'm there. I'm doing what they want me to do now. And it relays back to my Christian walk. When you get saved, my heart was messed up, and I needed somebody to fix it. I couldn't fix it. I didn't know how to fix it. So I had to rely on a man. He goes in, he fixes it. Same way my spiritual heart. I couldn't fix it. It was broke. I needed help. I relied on the man, Christ Jesus. And he fixes it and he puts it back in order. But after you are fixed, you have to walk. Child of God, you got to walk. That's no different than heart surgery. And man, this is spoke, man. I've got so many. I got a book full of sermons I wrote sitting at home twiddling my thumbs. But I thought about this. After I had heart surgery, they wanted me to walk. After you have heart surgery and you get born again, he takes that old heart out and puts in a new heart. He takes the stony heart out and he puts in a new heart. You must walk. In that book they gave me, it said, for the rest of your life, you must walk 5 days for the rest of your life. 5 days. That's not a suggestion. That's not an opinion. If you want to live, you're going to have to walk. Tonight I'm talking to somebody spiritually. If you want to live, you must walk for Christ Jesus. Every step you make is important in your life. Every step in your life, somebody's watching, somebody's moving, somebody's seeing. As I walk down County Road 16, every single morning I get up and I walk that road. Every morning you say, preacher, how long are you going to do it? I pray I do it till I die. Can I get an amen? Same way as in your spiritual life, how long am I going to walk for Jesus? I pray you walk for Him till the day you die. Just sit there if you want to. Amen. Man, I'm excited to be here. Every step I make is about God and it ought to be. Let me give you this tonight. Psalm 37, if you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn with me there. Every step, somebody's watching, every step you make along the way. And can I say tonight, it is going to be recorded. Can I also say tonight, when you go and they hook you up to a heart monitor, and they do checks on you, they can tell if you've been walking the steps that you're supposed to walk. They can tell if you're in good health. They can tell if you're in good shape. They can tell if you've been walking the way you should. They can tell what's going on in your life. So tonight, I want to leave you with this before we ever get anywhere else. You make sure tonight, every step that you take, child of God, that you're taking that step with God on your mind, that you're walking in the right way. You're walking the way God would call you to walk. You say, preacher, I'm saved and heaven bound. It ain't no big deal. It's going to affect you in this life. Every step. Psalm 37 verse 23, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. Psalm 37 and verse number 23, and the Bible says, the steps of a good man. Woo! Boy, them are hard to find, ain't they? The steps of a good man, or can I say, the steps of a good woman. Boy, them are hard to find. Somebody tell you something and do what they tell you they're going to do. That's hard to find. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Let us pray. Father, we love You and we thank You for this night. Lord, I thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank You for every step that we make is ordered by You. Father, whoever I'm talking to tonight as a child of God, they've not took a step today that You didn't order it, Father. Lord, they're not a step in their life. They may have thought they shouldn't have been there, but Lord, You put them there. Lord God, every step we make, Father, You order them steps and you lead us and You guide us and You direct us tonight, Father. Lord, I'm praying for the one that's walked in tonight and they could care less about what kind of step they're taking or where they're going or what they're doing tonight, Father. Lord, I pray You'd sit down on them tonight. I pray You'd sit down on me. Father, I pray that You preach me tonight in a way that would be pleasing and glorifying to Your name, Father. Lord, I thank You and I don't take it for granted tonight. And it's only been 54 days and I'm back behind a sacred dais. I don't take that lightly tonight, Father. Lord, I thank You for that. I praise You for that. I know, Father, I could have never stood back behind this dais, but that Your will would be done, that You've guided my steps. You've led me the way that I should go. And You've done what You should have done in my life, Lord God. And I thank You for that. Lord, I praise You for that. I pray for every prayer request tonight. I lift them up to You tonight. I pray tonight for Sister Nicole as they go Friday, Father. And I already speak it in the name of Jesus. Jesus, life and death, and the power of the tongue, I speak there's nothing on that baby. That baby's free. That baby's clear. That baby's clean. That baby's going to be healthy. In the name of Jesus, we speak it tonight, Father. Lord, they're all over this room tonight. One's that's got Jayla with her knee surgery coming up, Father. Lord, come Friday, Lord, I pray you touch her, help her, heal her. Lord, I pray for Chuck next Wednesday as he goes to the heart doctor. I pray for Sister Chris as she goes. Lord, I'm just asking you tonight to touch in a mighty way. Lord, I'm asking you to do what no man can do, but you can do because you are the man tonight. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. I lift up no other name but the name of Jesus. We ask it all tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Amen. Here as we come tonight in Psalm chapter number 37 tonight, I want you to know this, every step. The psalmist recorded that the steps of a good man, are ordered or established by the Lord. I want you to think about how many steps you take a day. I want you to think about how many steps you take a day. 10,000 steps is a day is a normal goal that most folks will walk in a day. 10,000 steps is a normal day that most people are going to walk. They can be recorded by our phone. They can be recorded by a Fitbit and other devices. But if we can just remember, child of God, that God orders and records every step you make. Every step you make in your life, our Lord orders every one of them. So if we did that and we realized that His steps, He's putting us where He wants us to be, our load would not be so heavy. You wouldn't be under such a load, under such a burden, under such depression, under such guilt, under such things in your life. If you realize that God's got you in a place and He's leading you in a place that He may get His honor and His glory out of it tonight. Since God is establishing or ordering my steps, what should I do? If God is the one that's orchestrating my steps and everywhere I go and everything I do, He knows, what should I do? What should I do in my life? You say, preacher, what kind of attitude should you have? Look with me, if you will, in Psalm 37. In verse number 1, I say to you tonight, we must not fret about every step we make. Every step you make, you ought not worry about it. You ought not fret about it. You ought not wring your hands about it. You ought not be upset about it. Hey, God is in control. Can I get an amen? Hey, when you go to that doctor's visit, you go to that place, He didn't send you there alone. He's before you. He's went before you. He's behind you. He's on the right side. He's on the left side. He's in the doctor's office. He's all around you tonight. And to fret not on every step. Look what He says in verse number 1, fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You say, preacher, if I'm not going to fret not, what does that mean? I want you to know tonight, not worry. That means do not worry about every step that you make. You get in line with God, you get hooked up in the Holy Ghost, and you let God lead you in the way that you ought to go. Tonight I want to say this. To fret not means not to worry. Matthew 11:28, the Bible says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Tonight, there's so many restless people in the world we live in. You see somebody, they slept all night, they wake up the next morning, you run into them at Jackrabbit's, look like they ain't slept in 3 or 4 days. You say, how you been doing? Man, I slept last night, but I didn't sleep good. You know why? Because they're not coming to God. They're not coming to where the Lord is. They're not getting at that feet of Jesus, getting at the rest, getting that rest that they need. They worry about everything. You say, preacher, is that good on you? No, it's not. Worrying about everything will lay you up in Tupelo, Mississippi with your chest wide open. If you don't get control of it, let God have it. I want you to know tonight, it'll worry you to death. It'll drive you to an early grave. Hey, but I got good news tonight. Every step I make tonight, I want you to know that God is in control. Don't worry about it. Can I give you another thing? Don't lose no sleep over it. What you can handle, don't lose sleep over it. What you can't handle, don't lose sleep over it. Y'all look at me like I'm crazy tonight. You've got to get to a place where you quit worrying. Well, that's easy to do. Oh, no, it's not. And that's why I'm preaching it to you tonight. Every step you make, though, you've got to get up to a place that you do not fret about it. This is the worriedest bunch of people I've ever seen in my life in the world we live in. If you turn the news on, everybody's worried. Everybody's worried. You talk to Christians, Jesus is coming back. Man, He's on the scene. Here He comes. Here He comes. They ain't worried about it until things get bad. Hey, He can come when it's bad. He can come when it's good. He can come when He wants to come. Can I get an amen? He said, don't worry. Don't worry. Listen to me tonight. Every step that you make, quit worrying about it. You get under God. Get under His leadership. Let Him lead you every step along the way. He said, I don't want you to worry about it. I don't want you to lose sleep over it. I want you to just do what I've called you to do. Tonight, when you start worrying and you start fretting, you know what you're really telling God is, I don't believe you can. I don't believe you will. You told me in your book you'd take care of me. You told me in your book that you'd meet every need I have in my life. But I'm going to worry about it because I don't really know if you're going to show up or not. I really don't know if you can really do what you told me you can do. He said, oh, no, preacher, you ain't been there. I've been there in the last 54 days. And I've had to get to a place that I can't worry about it, ain't going to worry about it, ain't no need of worrying about it. Somebody else will worry about it. Brother Brad, can I get an amen? You can't worry about it. It'll drive you crazy when you start worrying about the things of this world. He said, fret not. If you want to get to the place at every step in your life and you want to loosen the load that's in your life, number one, you have to quit fretting about it. You have to quit worrying about what's going on every step of the way. Let me give you this, not to worry, not to lose sleep, and do not get all worked up. Let me give you this. When you get all worked up and you come to church and you come into worship, let me give you this. Number one, it's going to hinder your walk with Jesus. When you're all worked up, it's going to hinder your walk with Jesus. Read your Bible, pray, do what you want to do. But if you're worrying about everything, you ain't walking the way you should. It's going to hinder your walk with Jesus. It's going to hinder your worship to Jesus. Because you're not going to worship Him and worry in here. Worry and worship will not mix. You can come to church, you can sit on the pew, and you can amen it. But if you walked in worrying, you walk out worrying, you ain't worshiped none. Worrying and worship. Somebody said that's true. Did you say that's true, baby? Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to quit worrying, ain't we? We're going to do our best. If you're worrying, you're not worshiping. You can't. If you're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of, if you're worshiping Jesus Christ and you got your eyes on Him, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You're looking at the water walker. You're working at the healer, the miracle worker. You're looking at the one that saved your soul. You're looking at the one that died on the cross. How can you look at Him and worry about that? How can you have your eyes? I'm asking you tonight, how can you have your eyes on Jesus and still be? You can't. If you're looking at Jesus, you can't be worried about that mess over there. But if you've got your eyes on Jesus, you'll worry about that mess over there. If you're not careful, you'll be worried about the crowd and get your eyes off the Christ. You'll be worried about the community and get your eyes off the Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus. When you get all worked up and you don't know what to do, number one, I want you to know it'll hinder your walk, it'll hinder your worship to Jesus, and it'll hinder your willingness to follow Jesus when you get all worked up and you get all nervous and all balled up inside. Let me give you the second thing it'll do. Every step, fret not. He said, don't worry about it. If you want to loosen your load and you want to get to a place that you just release and let God have it. Man, I'll tell you, 54 days and I finally got there. Before I had my heart surgery, I was the most uptight, tied up preacher you've ever seen. And I don't know, Miss Patsy, it's because they cut me open, the medicine they got me on, whatever, but I got a good case I don't give a rip. Can I say that in a Baptist church? I just got me a good case. I don't give a rip. Because when I got back there in that room, it wasn't nobody but me and Jesus. It was just me and Him. That's all there is. And when He told me don't complain, you know what He told me? You know what that means? You're going to make it. Keep your mouth shut and let's go. I'm talking to somebody tonight that you're worried about every step you make. And he said, quit worrying about it. Quit worrying about it. He said, if you'll quit worrying about it, you can start trusting me. Look what he says here in verse number 3. If you're going to loosen that load on every step, number one, you're going to have to quit fretting. But number two, you're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to trust the Lord. Look what he says in verse number 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. You ain't got but one thing to do. Trust in the Lord, just do good. My mama always told me, just be good. Mom, you know how hard that is? You know better. You better be good. Look, trust in the Lord and do good, and shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. To trust in the Lord every step. There's one thing to fret not. Trust in the Lord every step. That means to follow the Lord. Psalm 118:8, write this down in your Bible or circle it or do something. Psalm 118 in verse number 8, the Bible says, to have confidence in the Lord. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better. He said it is better to trust in the Lord. When you stop worrying, you say, God, you got it. Lord, you got it. If it don't work, it's on you and it ain't on me because I'm trusting you. You think about a God you put your worries on? That's amazing. Look here. He says this in verse number 3. Trust in the Lord and do good and thou shalt dwell in the land and verily thou shalt be fed. Everybody look up here just for a minute. I'm going to give you some Detroit slang that's going to help you. He said if you'll trust God, you'll be fed. And I wrote this down. He'll only feed those who follow him. If you're starving to death because you ain't following him. If you're hungry spiritually, it's because you ain't following Jesus. If you're starving to death and you're malnourished tonight, it's because you ain't following him. He said, if you'll trust me, I'll feed you. But you stop trusting me and see, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you hunger. I'm going to pull my hand back. He said, preacher, are you sure? But I promise you, when you think that you can handle it on your own and you can do it on your own, he'll let you have it on your own. Hello? You think you get to that place, he'll let you have it on your own. You think you're the big shot and you're the one running the show with your house and you got everything under control and everything at your house is under control, he'll let you have your house. He'll let you have everything you got. But when you get to the place you say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm putting my trust in you. He said, come on, boy, I'm going to feed you now. I'm going to feed you now. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, let me give you this. He'll feed those who will follow him. Those that won't follow, he won't feed. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 26. Turn with me there. You say, preacher, he said that he feeds the spiritually. If you're going to be fed, you got to follow him. Matthew 6, 26. Let me give you this. To fret not in every step. To trust the Lord in every step. If you want to be fed, you better follow him. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 26. If you find your place, say amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26. Here's what the Bible says. And Jesus said it. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father, read it with me. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And are you not much better than they? He said, spiritually, if you're hungry, I'm going to feed you. If you'll trust in me, I'm going to give you something that you ain't seen before. I'm going to open something new to you. Back in our text, in Psalm 37, he says, to every step we must fret not. Every step we must trust in the Lord. Let me give you the third thing here. Every step we must delight ourselves in the Lord. And here I want to give you this, to delight yourself in the Lord. You do your own test. See if you delight yourself in the Lord. Let me give it to you. To delight yourself in the Lord means to be satisfied in the Lord. If you ain't satisfied with what God's done in your life now, if he doubled it, you wouldn't be satisfied. If you don't like what you got now that he's given you, if you don't like the home you're in, if you don't like the spouse that he's given you, if you don't like what he's done in your life, if he doubled it, you wouldn't like it. Because that's being unsatisfied. You do the test. Are you unsatisfied at work? Unsatisfied when you get home with your spouse? Unsatisfied with your children? Unsatisfied with the church you attend? You know, if you're unsatisfied with everything, it's probably everything you're going to, it's probably you. I didn't mean to say, yes, I did. If you don't like your job, you don't like your church, you don't like your spouse, you don't like your kids, you don't like nothing, it's probably you are the problem. You're probably the biggest problem. Listen to me. You say, preacher, you act, no, I don't care. I'm going to tell you the truth with my heart. It's probably because you don't realize the steps God's given you, he's given it. You wouldn't even got a step today if he wouldn't have gave it to you. And I want to ask you tonight, are you satisfied with what God's gave you? To delight yourself in the Lord is to be satisfied. Lord, I don't know what comes my way, but I'm satisfied with it. Folks, I told you Sunday night, when I was laying in that bed, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why me? He said, why not you? He said, has he really talked to you that way? Oh, yeah. Laying over there talking, Brandon said, who are you talking to? I'm just talking to the Lord. We're just having a conversation. He said, we don't talk to the Lord like that in this church. Well, your pastor does. And we just talk up a storm. And he said, why not you? I said, I got a church over there. I got a pastor. He said, ain't your church, it's my church. I got it. But you're going to quit worrying. And you're going to trust me. And you're going to have to get to the place where you delight yourself in me. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Are you satisfied with what you got right now? Are you satisfied in the Lord? He said, delight yourself in the Lord. Let me go on right here. I'm going to keep moving before the kids come in. I got something else I'm going to tell you. He said, delight thyself in the Lord. Be satisfied in the Lord. Here's another test to give yourself. Be content in the Lord. Whatever He's got you doing, be happy with what He's got you doing. Be joyful in the Lord. Be joyful. Be happy. Be happy. Joyful. Psalm 51:12, the Bible says, restore unto me the joy. You know how many Christians need their joy back? You know how many Christians in this church need their joy back? You know how many people in this room tonight need their joy back? You know how many people that I've pastored in this place that I look on their face and they ain't got a bit of joy? They ain't got a bit of happiness. They worried about everything. They ain't trusting God. They don't know what they're going to do. Don't know what's going to happen next. And all they need is a little joy. God just gave you a pinch of it. It'd change everything in your life. Just a little joy. Just saying. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Joy in every step that you take. Let me move on here. Not only should you fret not in every step and trust in the Lord and delight thyself in the Lord. Let me give you something else here. Look with me if you will in verse number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him and He shall bring it to pass. Now if you're fretting and you ain't trusting Him and you ain't happy with what He's doing right now, to commit yourself and to commit, say, I'm in, Lord. Whatever goes on, I'm in. It ain't going to come to pass. You may get out too early. You may quit too early. You may stop too early. He had this blessing sitting right there, fixing to hand it to you, and you quit. You didn't get what He was going to give you. Oh, yeah. Commit thy ways unto the Lord in verse 5. To commit, what does that mean, Brother BJ? It means to throw your burdens on the Lord. To throw them. Lord, it's you. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 55 and verse number 22. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Psalm 55 and verse number 22 tonight, if you will. Psalm 55 and verse number 22. Throw your burdens on the Lord. Look what he says tonight in Psalm 55 and verse 22. He says, cast or throw thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Never, Brother Les. Never. Throw your burden on the Lord, but I also wrote this down. Throw your body on the Lord. Get so close to Jesus that you just wrapped up in Jesus. I'm talking about wrap up in Him. Get all over Him. Y'all know what I mean? Husbands, you know how you do when you get home and your wife just got home from work and you just hug her up and love all over? Okay. Love you, baby. Matthew 6 and a quarter. Turn there. Matthew 6, 25. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Matthew 6, 25. Brother Jim, you know what I'm talking about. Can't wait to get home. Give her one of those big kisses. That's what, yeah, boy. Y'all married couples. The single couples are living like married couples, and the married couples are living like single couples. If you're married, you can kiss your spouse. Then where am I at? Y'all don't owe me nothing for that. Matthew 6 and a quarter. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. What shall you put on it? Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Throw your body on Him. Throw your burden on Him. 1 Peter 5:8, throw what bothers you on the Lord. What bothers you? Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And I want to finish up with this tonight in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. I like to have a good time, man. I love being happy. I love being upbeat. I hate being around depressed, complaining, wore out people. I like being around people that loves the Lord and on fire. I want to offend it this way. If you're going to take care of every step you got, you're going to have to rest in the Lord. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 7. He says, not only commit thy way, but rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You must rest in the Lord, in verse number 7. To rest is to wait patiently every step. To rest in the Lord means you're going to have to slow down. I want to share this with you. As your pastor, I want you to love folks. I want you to love folks. every step you make. Love, folks. Slow down. Just get to the meat just right quick, but slow down. From the heart to you. Love, folks. Laugh. Bible says laughter is like medicine, good medicine. Does the body good. Laughter's good. Laugh. Get that frown off your face. I don't like it, and the Lord don't either. Get the frown off your face. You got something to be happy about. We ain't at no funeral home. We had a worship service tonight. You know, I'm about like an old dog. When an old dog is up and doing good, he's right there with his best friend, loves to have. But when that dog gets down and out, he wants to get gone. Or if he's going to die, he wants to crawl in a corner and just die on out. As I laid in Tupelo, Mississippi, I didn't want none of y'all to see me the way I was. Because I don't want you to see my weakness. No. 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 Why you walk 3 miles every preacher, every morning, 2 miles every night? Why do you do that, preacher? Because I want to get back up here. I'm like an old dog. When my time's done, I don't want to be mocked over, made fun of, or nothing. I just want to move on out. But from now on, every step in my life, I'm going to love folks. I'm going to laugh. And I'm going to lean on God. I'm not going to take it for granted. He says, I want you to rest, love, laugh, live, lean on God every step. Why, preacher? Why is this important tonight, every step? Because one day, you will take your last step. I don't know when yours is, but it ain't as far as you think it is. I don't know nobody when they got to the end didn't wish they had a little bit longer. Hezekiah wanted just a little bit longer. Jesus said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass. Nobody wants to die. Death's coming to every one of us. And you're just a step away, folks. Everybody in this room, you're a step away. You fix to do the dangerous thing you can do in your life, the most dangerous thing you can do in your life, is you're fixing to go get in that automobile and you're fixing to go down this highway and you're going to run 60 mile an hour home and the only thing that's going to separate you is an imaginary line running down the middle of that road from that other joker coming down, not hitting you head on, killing you. Babies in the back of the car. Got babies in the back of my car. One time, look down at your cell phone, look up. That's your last step. Every step you make, you must make sure that you're loving folks. That you're laughing. You're living. You're leaning on God. You said, preacher, you think it's that close? I think it's that close. I think it's that close. If you'll turn with me tonight, I want to close with this. 1 Samuel chapter number 20. I believe it's that close. 1 Samuel chapter number 20. Verse number 3. Every step you make, quit worrying about it. Trust God. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit unto Him and rest in Him. Rest. Rest. King David was worried about Saul. And he knew that Saul wanted him killed. Why? Because David was a man of God. Had an anointing on his life. 1 Samuel 20 and verse number 3, the Bible says, and David swore moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth. 1 Samuel 20 and verse number 3. Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he said, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. There's but a step. There's but a step between me and death. If you get a hold of that, if you'll get a hold of that, you'll start witnessing for Jesus. If you'll get a hold of that, you'll start living for Jesus. If you'll get a hold, if you'll realize ever how many steps, 6,500, ever how many steps, 5,000, if you get a hold of that and realize somebody else may check that Fitbit tomorrow. It'll change your life. But you know what the problem we got in the world we live in? We live like we got 1,000, 10,000, 20,000 more steps. You may take your last step tonight. And I want to ask you a question. If you never took another step, do you know where you'd spend eternity? If you never took another step, do you know where you spend eternity? I pastor a church. That don't mean nothing for eternity. That don't mean nothing. You can be on this church row. That don't mean you're going to heaven. You can be a deacon, Sunday school teacher. You can be whatever you want to be. You've heard this all your life. And you get tired of hearing it. You know why? Because you know it's true. That's why you get tired of hearing it. Because you know the position you've got has nothing to do with where you'll spend eternity. It's the relationship you got with Christ Jesus that the blood's been applied. So, preacher, what'd you do over there on that Thursday night? Did y'all have a party over there in your room before you went in on Friday morning? No. What'd you do, preacher? I prayed. I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe it covers past, present, and future sin. I believe it. I believe there ain't nothing the blood can't do. But as I laid on that bed waiting for that next morning, thought it was going to be 6:30. They was early risers. They come in there at 5. They're making sure they're getting everybody. You hear me? But as I laid in that bed, my wife, you can ask her, she'll tell you the truth. I was quiet, boy. Brother Austin, I was quiet. And I was laying there. And I said, Lord, Father, if there's anything in my life, if there's anything that I don't know about, that I do know about, anybody I've wronged, anybody that I've wronged, and I don't even know I've wronged them, anything, Father, any sin that might be in my life, I don't care what it is, Father, right now I repent. Father, right now I ask you if there be anything in my life, anything between me and you, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus to forgive me. So, preacher, why'd you do that? You're saved. I want to make sure everything between me and him is good. And every morning and every night, we've been praying together. And I'll be in that bedroom, we'll pray. And when they drift off to sleep, whatever they do, before I go to bed, I say, Lord, I don't pray for this church when I go to bed at night. I don't pray for none of you like I used to. When I go to No. Because I realize how close them steps are. I pray through you throughout the day, but when I lay down at night and when I get up of a morning, I say, Lord, if there be anything between me and you tonight before I lay my head down, Lord, I want to make it right. When I get up every morning, I say, Lord, whatever step you want me to make today, I want it to be between me and you. I want it to be right. When that phone call comes in, don't let me take off running like I used to. Go places I ain't supposed to go, do things I ain't supposed to do, and call it ministry. Lord, don't let me get there. Don't let me get there. Put me in your perfect will. So how's it been going, preacher? Pretty good. Why? Because he's took my steps over. For so many years, I walked my own step. For so many years, he was my co-pilot instead of my pilot. Pastor of this church, I let him be the co-pilot. And I took reins and was the pilot. Talking to somebody right now, by the way. I'll ask you tonight, where you at with Jesus? Preacher, I ain't in my 20s. Ain't got nothing, they don't bother God a bit. Don't bother him a bit. Preacher, I ain't live life like I want to. I don't bother him a bit. When you take that last step, you leave it. And I'm asking you a question tonight. Are you pleased with every step that you're making? If you're not, I'd get it right tonight. You can be saved and not be right. You can be saved and not lying. You can be saved and not lying the way you need to be. How you know that, preacher? The last 54 days, Sister Brittany, he's put me in line. I ask you tonight, what about Jesus? Let's pray. Father, I love you and I praise you and I glorify you. I lift up no other name tonight but the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you tonight that we can get at your feet. We can get right where you are tonight, Father. Lord, I pray tonight, Father, that you just bless everybody in this room real good. Lord, I pray right now as we search our hearts tonight. Lord, I know they've come in for a Bible study. I know they've come in for prayer request. Lord, we've come at the feet of Jesus. And I'm asking you tonight, Father, every step we make, we're accountable for it. You order it. You've designed it. And Lord, tonight I'm asking whoever tonight, are they pleased with the steps they've been making? Tonight, as Brother Kyle mentioned that about 6,000 steps, he said, you put me on the spot. I wouldn't expect. If Brother Kyle would have knew, Father, that I was going to ask him that tonight, he'd have had 20,000 steps today. If he knew, he'd have had 20,000 steps. Father, just like our spiritual life tonight is, everybody in this room, we never know when you're going to call. Lord, I'm asking you tonight to bless everybody in this room. And let us really, really look at ourselves and be accountable for every step that you allow us to make. Father, I love you, I praise you, and I glorify you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You are dismissed. Love